Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, welcome back. Hour number three of a scheduled three. Craig Hoffman coming up just past 4 o'clock. Again, Maryland basketball tonight on the station. Wizards 99.1 FM against the Sham, the absolute frauds known as the Phoenix Suns. No Bradley Beal in his second return to Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. since the trade. He is out, but Kevin Durant, noted Commanders fan. Instead of winning basketball games, they're more interested in winning creative bets. I guess he bet Devin Booker or something.
You are such
some
a hater
whack job
everything.
Bet
I mean,
or whatever. No,
love,
I'm not a hater.
You
I'm just
love.
You know,
talking
I would
down.
Just I would just love for them to win games, you know. I mean, that's what they were put together to do, you know, and they can't win games.
It's so convenient that you waited until 40 games into the season to mention anything about them when they were a top 3 seed in the West before they got decimated by injury again.
This year.
Yes, they were top 3 in the West for a big chunk of the season, but they've recently hit a rough patch here. They've been injured.
The
month of December was not kind to them.
Okay, fine. I mean, but you are what you are, right? I mean, you are what you are.
You also play in arguably one of the most difficult, you know, divisions in the NBA in the Pacific with the Warriors and the Kings and the Clippers and just saying.
Yeah.
Lakers.
You're pointing out facts just like I am. So that's the deal. So you can listen to that 99.1 FM.
Durant's a fraud.
I didn't say that.
I'm just saying.
I think the Phoenix Suns are a fraud.
It would be on brand if you thought Kevin Durant was a fraud.
I think the Phoenix Suns are a fraud.
Okay.
As a team, right? They were put together as a juggernaut. All you people in the media just slathered all over them. Just, oh my God, the next super team, the next dynasty. And they couldn't even win a playoff game last year. They barely got in good enough position to get in the playoffs, and then this year they're a 500 team. That's it. I mean, it's all the reality. Just saying.
Colin Cowherd just pulled a Chris Russell.
What was that?
Well, Colin Cowherd suggested the Steelers trade T.J. Watt, George Pickens, and 2 firsts if it means getting Shador, and he's a first round. If he's your franchise guy.
Wait.
Uncle Colin said that. I couldn't believe.
Wait, T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt, George Pickens, and a first to trade up to go get Shador, is what Colin said. If they think that Shador is a franchise quarterback, then it's worth it. I guess that's interesting.
I mean, the George Pickens part, I have no problem with. How do you trade T.J. Watt, George Pickens, and a pick? Are you convinced that Shador Sanders is just going to light up the NFL like Jaden Daniels has?
No.
I'm not convinced. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I think he might be good.
Hey, look.
I mean, do you think he's Jaden Daniels' division?
I wouldn't. I think there's one team that should touch Shador Sanders, and it's Dallas. I think Dallas should do that.
You mentioned this earlier, right?
Uh-huh.
So if you were Dallas,
if I was Dallas,
you would hire Deion.
Yes.
You would trade Dak.
Yes.
Who you just committed a boatload of money to, and who the dead cap money would be outrageous.
So the thing about the NFL with dead cap like you can.
I know. It's invisible. It doesn't matter.
You can finagle your way around it if you have if you got one of the gurus.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I mean, it's just mystery money. I mean, the cap doesn't matter. It's not important. It's invisible. It's just not even a thing, right? I got you. I've heard this before.
So, but you know that you can spread out your dead cap money.
Yes.
So, you can spread out over 5 years if you wanted to. And take a $20 million hit.
No, you can't. Not when you trade somebody. No, you can't.
You can't spread out a dead cap hit when you...
No, you can spread out a dead cap hit after June 1st
when you
for
someone.
This year and next year. When you trade a guy or when you cut a guy. You can't spread it out for 5 years. Just while we're here, because we're here. According to overthecap.com...
It's $103 million.
Okay. The dead money to trade prior to June 1st, Dak Prescott, $103 million. The cap savings would be $13.3 million. To trade Dak Prescott post June 1st this year would be a dead money hit of $42.1 million, a cap savings of $47.75 million. Okay? So... Maybe you could say, well, that's a way we could do this.
You can split it up over 2 years. Yeah, but like that's what you have to do. Chris, you got to take your lump now. You didn't want to pay Dak this contract, which is why you waited.
Well, they did.
No, they didn't, Chris. Or else they would have paid him before everyone else got paid, and they wouldn't have waited for him to reset the market like a dumbass. Jerry Jones is stupid. I will give you
this. It doesn't matter what they wanted to do. They did it.
His trump card is Deion Sanders and Shador Sanders. That is how you get out of Dak Prescott's terrible-ass contract.
So basically what you're saying is hire Deion, draft Shador.
But you can't just draft Shador. You have to trade up to get Shador.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, right? So trade whatever assets you have there. Well, get him on a rookie contract.
It's not whatever assets. Your asset's Dak. Cleveland owns the number 2 overall pick. Cleveland needs a quarterback.
What makes you think that...
The Browns would want...
What makes you think that the Browns, who are in salary cap hell because of Deshaun Watson, would be able to take on a base salary of $47.75 million?
Pseudo cap hell. And when you trade a guy, that part of the lore and how you send less, if you're Dallas, is paying some of Dak's base for this year, taking on some of his money.
Mm.
Is that not possible either?
You can retain some of the salary.
So that's what that's how it would get done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have all the calculations.
What do you think
the
Browns are going to do a quarterback? Draft someone at 2?
Yeah.
Just because? See, that's the problem with a lot of, like, we got to stop this.
I mean, assuming that they like somebody, Cam Ward, Shador Sanders.
It's not an assumption.
Assuming that.
I wouldn't assume that.
And if they don't like somebody, then they can trade back, which is your scenario.
If you were the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, your seat is hot.
Yes.
So drafting a rookie to not be able to see through his development would be organizational malpractice. They need a veteran because their roster is ready-made to win games now.
What if they get...
They're a quarterback away, Chris.
What if they get the rookie in and it's the right mix and it's the right guy? Cam Ward comes in there and all of a sudden he lights things up. It's not likely.
What we're
going to
do over the next couple
possible.
Of months is try to convince... I'm already seeing Lewis Riddick on. He's such an alpha. He's an alpha.
Who? About Cam Ward?
Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Because he put up numbers in the ACC at Miami.
You know,
like,
just because Lewis Riddick's on ESPN doesn't mean he knows exactly what's going to happen.
His quarterback evals are interesting. He's hit, he's missed. But the idea that, like, Cam Ward is a slam dunk, not. Shador is not a slam dunk for Cleveland.
Of course.
Either. Do you see what I'm saying? Where they are right now as a franchise, they can't afford to play tiddlywinks with a rookie.
No, I would.
Something
I would,
that's not a guaranteed product.
I would agree.
Now, there are smarter ways they can go after this, right? There are other smarter veteran options than Dak. I'm just saying,
much smarter,
and it would allow them to keep their number 2 pick. But who knows if that's the way that they're going to go? Though.
I mean, we'll have to see if they sign a veteran quarterback that's a street free agent, obviously in mid March. Then, along with Deshaun, who retore his Achilles, who's probably going to miss at least half the year.
He's not playing next year.
I mean, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
His last down as a Brown.
Yeah, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I mean, they still got a big bill on him.
Well, if he got hurt outside of the facility, no, they don't.
If they sign, like
If he re-tore his Achilles outside of the facility, they can void his contract.
Well, right.
And you don't get your salary.
Well, you don't void the contract.
But you don't get your salary.
Right. It just depends on how they do that. That's a very contentious matter with the NFLPA, I'll tell you that.
Well, think about this. Him.
What if they go out and sign, say, if Cleveland goes out and signs Sam Darnold, who's, you know, made himself some money and cost himself some money in recent weeks, with the idea that Sam Darnold will be the starter, and maybe they'll draft a quarterback, and you would presume they would maybe draft a quarterback not at number two, but I don't know, in the second or third round.
You know who I think
Quinn Ewers.
You know who I think would be really interested in our guy? Maybe Kirk. Stefanski and Kirk have.
Well, Kirk could be, yes. Kirk could go to Pittsburgh. Kirk could go to Cleveland. Kirk could go. Could Kirk go to San Francisco?
You don't think Ben Johnson thinks that he can turn Kirk?
If they make Brock Purdy available via trade, because they know they don't want to pay Brock Purdy $65 million a year. I mean, that's all a possibility. All right. Obviously, we got a lot going on. I want to ask you this. You've called them the Alabama bank robbers, Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne. I thought they were pretty good the other night. Payne obviously broke his thumb, and he had to come out. But I thought before that, they were pretty good. And I think they're better than they get credit for, realizing that it's not enough and that they need to do more. And, of course, we know they need to do more. And for this defense to elevate itself, they're going to need to do more. But you call them the Alabama bank robbers. Did they buy a little bit more of your heart back?
Yes.
On Sunday night?
They are owed an apology.
An apology?
From you.
From me.
From the fans.
What about from you, who called them the Alabama bank robbers?
I'm also the same guy that also said that we should be apologizing to them. So don't try to flip it on me. You owe them an apology. I owe them an apology. Okay. The fans owe them an apology.
I just wanted to double down.
That's a clear detail that you were going to try to omit right there. Like, all right.
I don't owe them any apology. I've said they haven't been good enough. And we haven't gotten enough production out of Daron Payne. I wasn't the one that called them Alabama bank robbers.
You thought it was such a good joke, and you chuckled and laughed.
I'm just saying, there's a difference between what I've said about them.
Quiz, what's so scared?
No.
Big John and DeJuan going to see you in Detroit, huh, no. Quiz?
What I've said is they have not been productive and good enough.
Did you just mute my mic?
Pretty much, yeah. I didn't. It just magically happens. So here's what I wanted to ask, okay? Again, you take PFF and you take it with a grain of salt, but just throwing it out there. Daron Payne, 57.4 out of 100 on Sunday night. Now, he broke his thumb. The play that he broke his thumb on, I thought he made a really nice hunt and chase play, what have you. One tackle, for a run stop and no pressures on Sunday night for Daron Payne. Jonathan Allen. One total quarterback pressure. It was a hurry. And am I seeing this right? I think nothing else across the board. And they gave him a 42.5 out of 100. So
PFF's stupid and knows nothing. Right. He watched. He was the reason that Bobby Wagner was able to make plays because he's eating double teams and not letting guys climb up.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point.
I think he played the point of attack better than he played.
I think to call PFF stupid is.
I mean, they've been called out on their garbage numerous of times. I don't agree. Like in terms of like advanced analytics and like next gen stats, like PFF is. I would rather trust next gen stats. I wish next gen stats came up with a grading system because the folks at PFF are garbage. They are. PFF is not credible. It's proven time and time again that it's not credible.
32 NFL teams use PFF, and you think they're not credible?
Why do 32 teams use PFF, Chris?
They use it for all sorts of reasons. Hmm? Not necessarily because of their grades.
Why, though?
Their charting data. What do you mean, why?
Because this data technology system was sold to the league, was it not?
PFF? I don't...
Is it not derived from Chris Collinsworth? Did he not come up with PFF?
No.
And they sold it to the NFL?
No, Chris Collinsworth bought into PFF after it was already established. I don't think it's owned by the NFL. NextGen Stats is.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway.
I just don't. I'm tired of using PFF as some sort of like gospel. It's hard to even use it as a nuanced part of the conversation because the numbers are so off. There's no consistency about the way that they track things, in my opinion.
Okay.
It's very hard to. I'm not going to.
You're not the only one that has that opinion.
Grade their PFF. I'm not going to use their PFF grade as like a major talking point to prove a point. I won't go
all right,
there.
I don't care about
John and Duron's PFF grade. The eye test clearly shows that they got upfield. They pushed the pocket consistently. I don't care about how many quote unquote pressures they were credited with. And here's the other thing. We can look at how many pressures did PFF credit them with?
John and Duron?
Yes.
Just one total between the two.
Because I can go pull up the game from NextGen and look at how many pressures NextGen credited them for.
Yeah, you can do that on your own free time. I'm just providing a little bit of data, a little bit of context. You said, and I agree with you, that maybe we counted them out before we should have. I still say their overall performance this year has been largely disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
However, I thought they were pretty good on Sunday night. I thought, again, Dorrance Armstrong was good. I thought Cleveland Farrell made a play on a run stop that almost got past him. I thought, Holmes made a play. Johnny Newton just tore somebody apart in the backfield on a run stop. I remember that. I thought overall the Washington defensive line was pretty good. Not great, pretty good on Sunday night, right? So whatever context, whatever numbers, whatever grades, whatever nuance, what have you, you asked a question in our little text chat, do we owe them an apology? And what I'm asking,
really well,
what I'm asking for is this. Does one really good game,
your most important game of the
season?
Does
that erase all the ups and downs?
I'm just saying.
Do you expect it this Saturday night against a really good offensive line?
Do I expect it? No.
Okay. You hope for it, though.
Sure.
You think it's possible.
Sure.
Okay. That's fine. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I don't think those two guys, based on all the games that I've seen, are capable of just taking a game over and saying, hop on my back, boys. We'll take it to the promised land. Like, I think they will do their part. I think Detroit, I don't think David Montgomery will be able to just gash them up the middle and just expose them at the point of attack. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm expecting. But what I am hoping for is that Daron Payne and John Allen are noticeable to the casual fan, and they are putting heat on Jared Goff, who is not as mobile as Baker Mayfield, who is not as mobile as some other quarterbacks that they've had to face. Certainly not,
yes.
You know, like the Josh Allens of the world and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. So that's what I hope, is that you can see a noticeable impact from those two guys throughout the game, not just in a spurt here and there, impact.
Did you feel like their impact was noticeable Sunday throughout the game?
I felt it was noticeable. I said that. I don't think it was like, oh my God, they took over that game. I don't think they took over that game, but I think it was noticeable. Right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Radio show. It helps when you talk.
When Matt says go to break, I cut my mic off so I don't blow the clock.
You know, I was just asking for confirmation. I think it was noticeable. I don't think it was they took over the game. 301-230-0980. Back to the calls in just a wee little bit. Wanted to get through those two things that we had on the docket for the 3 o'clock hour. We'll continue along on a Thursday right here on the Team 980. All right, so we just talked about the so-called Alabama bank robbers, as Linnell likes to call them, but he thinks they deserve an apology, do they?
For them
again,
to
Listen, the numbers are what the numbers are. The grades are what the grades are, obviously. I felt their impact on Sunday night. You certainly felt their impact enough to say maybe they deserve an apology.
And I think if for them to do it in the biggest game of the season, I think means a little bit more to me.
Yeah. Now, when you say for them to do it, again, people are going to look at the raw numbers, not just the PFF numbers.
And those people I would tell to go kick rocks. I don't validate anyone's opinion that looks at numbers and think that that's all football is. So they might as well not even open their mouth and talk to me.
Okay. So your point, just so I'm clear, is because they destroyed the integrity, double teams, all of that stuff, and pushed the pocket, even though they're not credited with pressures and this, that, and the other thing, they had an impact.
I believe so. Maybe I could be wrong.
I think you're actually closer to right than wrong. I just what I would caution everybody to say is, like, it's not like I watched every snap or every series and go, oh my goodness, Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne.
I feel that. That's not at all what it is.
It's a subtle kind of impact, I guess, what I would say.
I just look at how fast Bobby Wagner was able to get downhill.
Well, that part is absolutely true.
Yeah, but that's because he's getting to run scot-free because there's no guard climbing up to him. Like, they have not done a good job all year keeping their backers clean. And we had talked about this before, right? Like, it's watching them play the double team. I didn't know if it was a schematic thing, a fundamental thing. They were getting moved too easily. That man in the Ravens game before John Allen got hurt, he tried to spin at a double team. Are you kidding? And you know what happened? There were four hands in his back. Because why the hell would you decide to do that? They're playing it better. He's played really well since he's come back.
I think he has.
Like, he played really good against Atlanta. It was a big reason why they were able to get stops in the second half.
Do you think they come out and play the De'Ron Payne thing at defensive end in this game?
No.
Like, as a primary part of their package?
No, because I look at what Detroit does in the run game. They're going to try to get on the perimeter, and I don't think he's the type of guy that you want to have as your
Jahmyr Gibbs is going to try and get on the perimeter. Montgomery, obviously, is going to try and probably bang it between the tackles. Right?
I think he can't get on the perimeter, but... This would be the front I'd come out with. De'Ron, John, Johnny, Dorrance, and Jalen Holmes would be my... De'Ron. I mean, I count right there. John.
You named five guys.
Yeah, I play
so
five down.
So you'd play a five-man front?
I play five down, and I'd have Bobby and Luvu as my two backers.
So your primary front would be that?
I'd play five down most of the time, yeah.
And because you have Newton in there along with John Allen and De'Ron Payne.
So my ends in that package are Dorrance and Jalen Holmes.
And Jalen Holmes has...
You got to look at how he's built. He's thick, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not only emerged, but he's probably overtaken Javonte Jean-Baptiste here, right?
No, Javonte played a healthy amount on Saturday.
I didn't say he didn't, but I'm just saying. I mean, in terms
of impact.
I don't
know if he's overtaken him. I think you have to go back and look at the snap count. It feels like their snaps are about the same.
Okay. But they play a lot.
We could actually have it pulled up here, Chris. The snaps.
Oh.
From the defensive snaps from this past weekend.
Yes.
Jalen Holmes, 13. Javonte Jean-Baptiste, 12.
Okay. So about the same.
About the same. And it feels like he played more than 13 snaps. That shows you how impactful Jalen Holmes is in his limited snaps.
Yes.
If you feel...
Well, it almost feels that way with Sheldon Day, too.
Sheldon Day only played 19 snaps. But this is the more interesting number, I think, Chris, not to go all over the place. Fowler only had 22 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you get into, and we said this during the regular season, as you get into the latter part of your schedule where you're going up against teams that are going to try to run the ball on the perimeter, he can't set the edge. You need to earn the right to get into obvious pass rushing situations for him to be impactful. Now, he drew a hold in one of those 22 snaps against Tristan Wirfs.
Remember, they're only on the field for 23 minutes.
Right.
Which is keeping some of these snap counts down.
So they only played 44 snaps.
Yeah. So it's about, roughly half the snaps.
Think about how crazy that is to only have to play 44 defensive snaps.
All right, let's get to a call here. Alex in Alexandria has been on hold for a while. What's up, Alex?
What's going on, guys?
Alex, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I want to ask you a question. Who you root for? Who's your favorite team in the NFL? Are you a Giants fan?
Why is this relevant? Why is this even relevant?
Why is it relevant? Because
it's not. That's the answer.
The last couple of days, You and Linnell. Okay. Linnell is the other one there. Right.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. I've had enough. Had enough of you thin-skinned people that are just literally trying to poke just because some guy calls me an industry plant because
now I'm just some guy.
I talk about the Jets in my sleep, for God's sakes.
It's not just some guy.
I have lived here for 17 years. Please shut the bleep up, all of you. All of you. And take off the burgundy and gold rose-colored glasses and
you just
all this nonsense.
An inaudible noise coming out of me while I laughed. I snorted. It was so funny.
Usually, Alex, I'm not that mean to Alex. It's just like enough with this stuff. Oh, you have the audacity to think that the Lions are really good. You must be an industry plant. This is what you people get. This is what you people get when you listen to the wrong people. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Indeed, the Commanders on the practice field earlier today, wrapped up now. We'll get the official injury report coming up later on. But it was good news for Bobby Wagner, who is back on the field and at least a limited participant. We'll see, as it turns out, if a full participant. Meanwhile, don't forget our extensive pregame coverage starts throughout the day and really kicks into gear. Ford Field on Saturday afternoon in Detroit. Grant Paulson, I'll join him for a little while from Ford Field in Motown before the divisional playoff. Again, Linnell and Denton Day at Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, Virginia on Saturday evening starting at 6 for Burgundy and Gold pregame and in-game live. The DOC and Toby Altizer, win or lose. Take your calls after the divisional playoff round between the number one seed Detroit Lions, 15-2, and the Washington Commanders, a combined 13-5, the sixth seed in the NFC. Meanwhile, tonight in Capital One Arena, it'll be the Phoenix Suns, or the team sort of known as the Phoenix Suns, 19-20. No Bradley Beal. He's been ruled out of this game with an ankle injury. They'll take on the Washington Wizards. Of course, they come in struggling as they have at 6-32. You can hear that game on Bloomberg 99.1 FM. That's Bloomberg 91.1 FM. That's because we will have Northwestern and Maryland basketball coming up at 8:30 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, over on 106.7 The Fan, it's Jacob Chychrun's return to Ottawa as he takes on his former team, the Ottawa Senators. The Capitals rolling, of course, after their 3-0 shutout win against Anaheim and a couple of wins in a row, including the road win in Nashville last time away from Capital One Arena. And that's what's trending. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up at 4 o'clock. What are you doing?
I like this song.
God, I wish I had video of this.
We need video. Anyone who's listening, I'm wearing a small hoodie today because I'm going to the gym after. Again.
Aren't
you
unbelievable?
So you and that old-ass man could stop calling me LaWhale and you stupid listeners out there.
I have never called you LaWhale ever, period, once. Not once.
I'm just joking, Chris.
I can't speak for Doc. I've never called you.
Oh, now you can't speak for Doc.
I had
no problem speaking for Doc a couple days ago.
I can't.
I mean, good God.
I don't.
This is how excited I get when we're 20 minutes away from being done. I'm joking. I'm actually sad because I don't get to talk.
We can make it 0 minutes if
we don't even have a win bag next week.
Why not?
Because I'm booked up.
Oh, you're popular, aren't you?
And I didn't mean, I'm out of breath now from all that gyrating I was doing. Whew.
You all right? You need 5 minutes on the bench?
Yeah, right.
Do you need 20 minutes on the bench?
I need a minutes restriction.
Well,
yeah, a la Doc Walker.
You said it, Zion. Let's get to Sean in Connecticut.
I like how you slid that in.
I didn't slide it in. I just smashed you right in the face. What up, Sean?
What's up, pal?
Sean?
How are you, my man?
Good. To follow someone like that, but I think comparing Linnell to Zion is an insult to Linnell. So that's a little too
Sean,
hard.
You've been good, brother. I haven't heard from you in a while, man. I know you're living that college life, knocking down brews, knocking down blondes. I know it. I remember.
It's been a busy, stressful couple of months.
Yeah, you've been busy, all right. Remember, bearskin. Bearskin.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
I don't know what any of that is all about, but
let me get to some football now.
Yeah.
Oh my lord. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first I wanted to quote, since Matty Ice played 6'7" for earlier, and Chris, with all these people coming on here talking some nonsense, you guys tell him this. This is a direct quote. And I call it like I see it, and my glasses on. But most of y'all don't get the picture, lest the flash is on.
Satisfied with nothing, you don't know the half of it. Young Money, Cash Money.
Exactly. Thank you, Lynette.
You're welcome.
But to football real quick, I feel like people, yes, last week was an awesome win, and I'm not complaining whatsoever, but I think we glazed over how close that was to a loss, the fumble on the handoff, and then the weird 3rd inches that led to the goal to tie up the game that gave us the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
So all I want to see is on Saturday night is we need for us to really have a chance, we're going to need Lions to make an uncharacteristic mistake like that, or someone make a great play. I feel like it's not going to. If the Lions execute perfectly, I would be shocked if we win because it's going to be like 60-65 or whatever if that's the case. But I just think if JD continues doing what he's doing, making the good plays, making the right reads, whatever. If we execute well enough, and if the defense can make a couple big plays or get like 2 stops, I really think we have a chance. And this is hard for me to say because, as you guys know, I have PTSD and I'm like the most pessimistic negative fan of this team. All year I've been saying when something bad happens, I'm like, oh, well, that's it. Game's over.
Right.
And then they prove me wrong time and time and time again. So I'm just looking. I just want the game to be close. That's all I want. I want the game to be close.
That's the most important thing. Like, how you get there is not important. The fact is, if the game is within 1 score, and I mean, even if it's 8 points, with 5 minutes left to go, you feel like the Commanders have a chance. Thanks, Sean. As always, appreciate you. Got to let you run because we're way behind. At least you feel like they have a chance. But as I've said all week, and listen, some people call them lucky, some people call them fortunate. The 2 mistakes the Bucs made resulted in a net of 11 points. Hurt them, cost them 11 points, Tampa. So, you know, yes, the Commanders scored 23 points. They had some help in getting to that number. They're going to need help getting, I think, to a higher number. And I keep saying between 31 and 34. That's what I feel. I could be wrong. The game script could work out differently. But I feel like they are going to need between 31 and 34 to win this game. And you're not going to be able to get away with the same, I don't want to call it inefficiency, but they were inefficient at times on offense in that game. At times. Let's go to our guy, Double A. We need somebody to slap somebody around
There are four. Oh, they're okay.
Athan, I just want you to know that this is all on him,
Athan,
and not on me. Tomorrow, you will be treated with much more class and dignity.
Forgot
first of all, Dr. Sabah sends her highest regards for you, Chris, but not so much Linnell. So we'll start there. I was just talking to Doc on X. We were exchanging some messages. But the first thing I want to say is there's no participation trophies for going to Detroit this weekend. I'm in it to win it, so I don't know what Franco was talking about earlier.
Mentality.
Second thing, I don't know if you guys are Eula now. I know Chris is aware, but if you're aware, we don't play the Cowboys this weekend. Shador, Dak, Dallas, Dion, Jerry Jones. What are we talking about Pop Warner BS for, okay? We're playing the Detroit Lions this weekend. The Dallas, the only mention of Dallas should be that Dallas is the only other team that hasn't been in the NFC Championship game in 30 years plus, just like us, okay? And I've been to Ford Field, okay? It gets loud in there. If we come out stagnant on offense, that's how you get that place to really become unglued. We can't come out stagnant on offense. We have to come out early and take their crowd out of the game. The Lions are starved for success just like we are. They only recently started winning in the last 2 years. We only started winning this year. So I feel really good about our chances on Saturday, but we have to come out fast. We cannot be down 23-6 at halftime.
Oh, no chance. I mean, they ideally need a 10-0 lead, and even that wouldn't be safe, and anywhere close to being safe.
Athlete, let me
exactly.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if anyone called in on the Ron Payne and John Allen thing. When do you look at, because you're a logical fan, do you give more credence?
Not what he says about you behind the scenes.
Do you give more credence to what they did Saturday, or Sunday rather, because it was a playoff game? Does it not mean more to you? It does to me.
I mean, I'm kind of in the middle of the road about it because they haven't done it consistently, and you're about to face the best offensive line in football on Saturday. So let's judge them after that. But at the same time, how effective is Daron Payne going to be with one hand?
Well, here's the thing. I said it Wednesday. The club is a weapon,
yeah.
Fellas.
We got Linnell wants it like a chair shot over Frank Ragnow's head.
Wow,
you know.
Like Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
Believe in the chair shot.
I believe in Joe Hendry, and I believe in the Commanders, baby.
But no, I think the club, like I said, this is going to be – playing the run is not to your advantage. But when you're pass rushing, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, you still can't club like somebody over the head.
It's not like Jared Goff is the most elusive guy in the Motor City.
I mean, where Jared Goff is elusive is on play action boot. That's where you're going to move the spot.
Yeah, Jared Goff's a jag, bro. Jared Goff is a jag.
If Jared Goff has three touchdown passes in the first half against us, you won't be singing that tune on Saturday. We got to come out and start fast. Our offense has to go out and expose their defense for being the posers that they are.
All right,
boom.
There you go. Mic drop, Athens and Annapolis, our guy. Double A. Let's get one more in here before the end of the show. Jeremy is in Maryland on the Team 980. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jeremy.
What's going on, brother?
Thank you for taking my call. I called in a month ago. You guys told me that I should apply for an internship based on the quality of my call. So thank you for that. I'll settle for a weekly time slot to raise the level of quality and the calls. I'd like to thank the previous caller did a decent job. The one before him, an absolute embarrassment. You're telling me that we're going to Detroit to play it close, keep it competitive? Are you kidding me? We're going to win. And if that is not your mentality, we don't need you cheering for this team. Secondarily, you two, you got to do a better job. There is no time this week to be discussing how many stops are we going to get. Is Daron and John going to play well? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all what our defense does. You know what matters? We have Beethoven. We have Muhammad Ali.
Beethoven.
That's before your time.
The most important position, these are the most important three things. Number one, can we keep the ball? Number two, can we score? And will we have the ball last? It does not matter defensively what we do at all. It's a matter of what can Beethoven do when he has the rock. Let's go, hell.
There you go, Jeremy.
So, dumb of the day.
Beethoven was like, how do you explain Beethoven?
Is he a composer?
A composer, yeah, there you go.
It sounds like a guy, I'm college educated.
Who else did he call him? Beethoven and... did he call him Liberace? No, not Liberace. Forgot
who else. Johann Sebastian Bach?
Oh, look at you.
Contemporary guy over here.
Yeah, look at you.
Well, since this is my last...
Do you know who Shakespeare was?
William H?
Yeah.
It's my man.
What was Shakespeare's famous work?
Romeo and Juliet. I'm also a fan of Tom Sawyer. Do you know who Tom Sawyer, what he's famous for? The old Huckleberry Finn? Come on, Chris Russell. I went to college in the 2000s. remember.
Wasn't that Mark Twain?
I think so.
Tom Sawyer did.
Ooh. Mark Twain wrote Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
I was just
because
I was just sitting by being innocent.
We have like 60 seconds. Dumb Dumb of the Day is going to be what it is, and I will not say anything during the segment because I never do. Washington goes into Detroit Sunday and wins 34-30. And on Monday, we'll be saying, finally, the Commanders have come back to the NFC Championship.
You can see this in live, living color on Saturday night. Starting at 6 o'clock for the Burgundy and Gold pregame show right here on the Team 980. Again, starting at 6 at Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, Virginia. We'll get you hyped for the Commanders and the Lions. Linnell will take the mic in the middle of the ring and do basically a facsimile version of what he just did. That's Honor Brewing Company in Sterling, Virginia, 42604 Trade West Drive in Sterling, Saturday night starting at 6 o'clock right here on the Team 980. When we return, how do you throw away 750 million of these?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
We'll tell you next. All right, we're down the stretch. We come one more show after today. That would be tomorrow at 1 o'clock. For my sanity, I'll be solo with Matty Ice, but that's okay. Linnell will be on overtime tomorrow night, so make sure you check that over on the Big Stick. And again, starting at 6, D-Day and Linnell at Honor Brewing in Sterling on Saturday evening. And Grant, I'll be hanging out with Grant at Ford Field in Detroit from 3 to 6. on Saturday afternoon. All right, before we get to Craig Hoffman, after the top of the hour, you know what time it is.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
All right, Maddie found this in the Post World News section. I don't know if this is exactly world news, but whatever. 39-year-old man threw away $750 million worth of Bitcoin in the trash and wants it back. But a judge has said, nope. We're not digging anything up. He lost the legal bid to recover the fortune. He calls it gut-wrenching. I would think $750 million of anything. I should say $750 million worth of Bitcoin. That would be probably good. So the 39-year-old went to court. He went against a counsel that refused to let him excavate computer equipment needed to unlock his 8,000 Bitcoins worth currently around $750 million. Apparently, it's at a waste site. There's a hard drive containing the password to his crypto account. They won't let him crack it. Basically, this started basically a decade ago, the story says, right? His then partner threw away a black trash bag containing the drive he needed to gain access to his stash. And basically, this happened in Newport, Wales, overseas. He spent years trying to fight for the right to retrieve it, but a judge in the Cardiff High Court threw out his legal bid to go in and retrieve it. So the guy has $750 million worth of Bitcoin and can't get access to
it. That's terrible.
Now, I don't know anything about Bitcoin, but I know this. If I had $750 million worth of anything, I probably would have been a little more secure keeping it. I probably would have done that. That's what I would have done. But he didn't.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
I don't know anything about Bitcoin. Like I said, I don't invest in Bitcoin. I've got some money invested away through the proper authorities. For my kids and for my retirement, which one day I hope will happen before the football gods get to me or before life's gods get to me. I don't know what I'm trying to say. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up next. Thank you, Linnell.
You're welcome. Hope you make it out of Detroit alive.
I'll try.
Joking. Have a great trip. I hope you get there on time. What is like the spread going to be? What's like a Detroit... Oh, Detroit-style pizza.
I hope you're a big
pizza guy.
I hope so. I haven't been there in 10 years, so we'll find out together. Thanks to Matty Ice. Craig is up next. Adios on the Team 980.
Hey, Craig.